it's just a rap thing. And when your heart's pounding out of your chest, you can feel the room shaking as you're running out of breath. If you're ready to rock, we'll just let it roll. Are you ready now? Are you ready to move? Let's be just move. All right, everybody, we're back with episode 25 of The Sounds of Struggle. I am Chris Parrish, and I am with... no one, because the weather in Alberta sucks, and I could not be here this week. If you guys are not from the Edmonton area, we are absolutely getting drenched with one of the worst rainstorms I think we'll see all summer long. And, yeah, with Maniac living in a different city than I do, it made for some real tough travel schedules. So he is doing the smart thing, staying home and trying to, keep his fort down while I bring you the weekly episode of The Sounds of Struggle. So bear with me. I hope this does not fail. So first off, I wanted to talk about WWE Backlash, because, let's face it, it was just last Sunday, and we had a lot going on, and it was a bit of shock, because Jinder Mahal did what a lot of people didn't expect him to do, and that was beat Randy Orton one-on-one in the title match to become the new WWE champion. Let that sink in for a little bit. Jinder Mahal is WWE champion. Yeah, the same Jinder Mahal that a couple years ago was in 3MB. Now, a lot could say Jinder Mahal was, just a pawn so they could... get bigger ratings in India. A lot of people said this is the absolute best example of a guy starting with the company, getting the raw deal, leaving the company, working his ass off to become better, and finally making a name for himself, getting the opportunity, and running with the ball. You know what? I like to actually agree with that latter, because Jinder Mahal, I think, has absolutely hit a home run once he was given the ball with WWE. You add the Singh brothers with him, and he is absolutely standing out on that SmackDown Live brand, and I think it is absolutely refreshing to see some new blood and just something different with the WWE title picture. I mean, let's all go back to WrestleMania when Randy Orton defeated Bray Wyatt. I mean, a lot of people didn't really like the fact that Randy Orton defeated Bray Wyatt, and I was actually one of them. So I'm not really unhappy with Randy Orton losing it. And let me clarify, I never wanted Randy Orton not to have the championship. I think Randy Orton is actually one of the best athletes and best talents on the WWE roster. But with that being said, I don't think Bray Wyatt, who I feel has been pushed up the rankings, pushed back down the rankings, pushed back up the rankings, pushed back down. I don't think he got a real opportunity to showcase how he could be as the top guy on the SmackDown brand, and let alone in WWE in general. I think he is one of the best pure promo guys outside of possibly Paul Heyman, and whether or not you like him or hate him, John Cena. So the fact that Bray Wyatt didn't get that fair opportunity in my eyes made me quite reserved when they put the title on Randy Orton, if they were just going back to the same old formula. I mean, all of a sudden you fast forward a couple shows and Jinder Mahal new WWE champion. I mean, I cannot believe I'm saying it, but at the same time, I'm very proud to say I'm saying it. And it's not because he's a Calgary boy, he's a Canadian, but I'm proud to say the WWE is finally deciding to try new things, give new talent a chance, and see where it goes. I mean, I personally thought, having Finn Balor become Universal Champion, having Seth Rollins be the first person to cash in at WrestleMania, I thought those were baby steps towards this direction. And I'm very curious to see if Jinder Mahal gets what Bray Wyatt didn't get, and that is, you know, a good title run in the picture, a great chance to showcase what he's capable of, because one might say he could be a diamond in the rough with the WWE. So, with that being said, I'm going to move on to another match, which, I mean, I was excited with, and that was for the United States title, Kevin Owens defending the U.S. title against AJ Styles. I didn't really know what to expect out of this one, because I've said before, I mean, I thought the U.S. title has been thrown around a few times, too many for my liking. So I kind of was hoping, you know, that they would keep it on Kevin Owens. This way they could just legitimize him as, you know, a strong heel on the SmackDown brand, but at the same time, give a little bit of respectability back towards the United States title, because I do believe the titles, if they have multiple champions within the span of a few days, weeks, months, it loses a little bit of value with the fans. I think the perception of the title weakens. So I was happy that Kevin Owens retained. I was happy with the fact that it was a countout, because this way, a countout, you can still continue the feud between AJ Styles and Kevin Owens, which I'm starting to get really into. I mean, I'm a fan of both men. I think they're both great talents. I think Kevin Owens might actually be one of the best heels in WWE. And I would actually put him in the category with The Miz on that. And then I would actually even say AJ Styles might actually be the most popular superstar in WWE. Maybe outside Finn Balor. I mean, I could be wrong. He actually could have the edge on Finn Balor. But at the end of the day, you have two of some of your best workers in a program together, and they're going to continue it. And I think these two men are going to absolutely knock it out of the park every single time they're in the ring with one another. And because of that, I think they're only going to make the United States title better in the process. So the fact that Kevin Owens won by count out, I think it was a good move. I think Kevin Owens keeps his quote-unquote heat on him, and AJ Styles, you know, has to, you know, keep fighting for the title, which, you know, it's your classic good guy versus bad guy story. Bad guy cheats, good guy fights, and doesn't quit fighting until he reaches his goal. But, you know, with that being said, this was a great match. Going even back, the WWE Championship match, I actually really enjoyed it. Not for the same part of why I think a lot of people would expect me to. I thought it really showcased Jinder Mahal in this level. I don't think Randy Orton actually had a great performance. I think Jinder Mahal actually needed this match to solidify himself in that position. Whereas the United States title match, I think both guys, I mean, let's face it, they're upper echelon type talents. So they didn't need one another to get anywhere. They're just in a program with each other because, let's face it, you want to see the best versus the best. And I think in the United States title picture on SmackDown Live, you're getting the best versus the best. Another match I was actually really quite curious about was actually the match that opened up the show, and that was Dolph Ziggler taking on the in-ring debut on SmackDown Live with Shinsuke Nakamura. And now, for everyone who is listening, I watched backlash with the fellow Tag Struggle members, the headline Sean Martins, and then Maniac himself. We had a lovely Struggle stalker in Angelica watching it with us as well. Yes, I'm saying it. Sue me. And then we also had Mrs. Maniac as well. Mrs. Parrish did not want to go. She's not a big wrestling fan, so it is what it is. Mr. Martins actually pointed out the one thing that felt was kind of lacking from this match was just the entrance alone. I mean, Shinsuke had he had some great entrances back in the NXT, and he's making his in-ring debut on SmackDown, so his first match on the main roster, and it was quite generic of an entrance. So you kind of expected WWE to go a little bit more out, maybe give him a little bit. You would have thought that since Shinsuke debuted with the Violinist, maybe you would have had the Violinist, come out for this one. I mean, I don't know. But until Mr. Martins actually pointed it out, yeah, not gonna lie, I kind of wish that they did a little bit more for his entrance as well. As far as the match is, I thought this was a very athletic match. I thought they did a really good way of allowing Dolph to sell and bump for Shinsuke. I don't think he did his unusual oversell like he's prone to do in this match as much as he has been, which I like. I'd like to see Dolph Ziggler be a little bit more of a badass and a little bit more of a tough guy. I think you can only play the cocky, I'm too good to be here kind of shtick for so long. And so with that being said, I mean, it was a great match. It was very athletic. Shinsuke Nakamura did get the win. I mean, I don't think a lot of people expected Shinsuke to lose. That would have really have killed his push onto the main roster, right? So, yeah, Shinsuke got the win. He got the Kiyasha for the win. I probably said that. Sasha. Something. Whatever. I don't speak Japanese. So you got the win, 1-2-3, and kind of hope they somewhat continue it, because I would like to see another match. I'd like to see Dolph get a little bit of an upper hand on Shinsuke a little bit more. I think you've proven that Shinsuke is a top-tier talent, by far one of the best personalities in all of WWE. I think that's safe to say. So, with that said, I just like to see Dolph Ziggler kind of add to his viciousness, add to his aggressiveness, add to his desperation from a character. Maybe feeling that, you know what, I didn't know who this guy was coming in, and then all of a sudden he beat me. I still feel like I'm better, but you know what, he's won over on me. I gotta maybe look into the old trick bag and see what I can do to get one over on him. So I'd like to see this feud continue. However, I'd like to see Dolph Ziggler get a little bit more scrappier, get a little bit dirtier. However, have Shinsuke ultimately win and finish this so he can move on, because I do think Dolph needs to move on to somebody who's more prone to his style in terms of matches. And I'm looking right at AJ Styles for that. I would really, really like to see that matchup. And I like to see Shinsuke and Kevin Owens, to be honest. I think they would do some good stuff. But you know what? I would also like to see Shinsuke and Jinder Mahal do a couple things too. And maybe put Randy Orton with Kevin Owens. Three completely new ideas. And yeah, I think SmackDown Live, no matter who's on the roster, is continuously putting out a new product. And because of that, I think, in my eyes, they're the better show than Monday Night Raw. So, yeah. It's quality over quantity. That's all it is. After the opening match with Shinsuke and Dolph, we saw one of the most entertaining tag matches I've seen on WWE. You had the Fashion Popo, aka Breezango, Tyler Breeze and Fandango, go up against the Usos for the WWE SmackDown Live Tag Team Championships. And the reason why I said this was entertaining was they, before the match started, revisited one of the old Fashion Files segments, which are absolutely hilarious. We're playing up Tyler Breeze as a master of disguise, and Fandango is the Sherlock Holmes of the two. So Breezango came out with a damn near costume, so to speak. He was a janitor to start the match. What I loved was that he just kept brushing the ground, kept sweeping the entrance, sweeping the apron of the ring when he wasn't in the match. Then he sweeped inside the ring when he was in the match. They used a couple comedy spots with the broom. Eventually, the Usos, one of them smashed it over his knee. Crowd reaction was priceless. The crowd was very into this. Beat up on Tyler Breeze for a bit, have him tag out, only to where he changes his outfit, because I'm not going to lie, people, he looked bigger than normal, and I don't mean that in a complimentary type way. But then all of a sudden he looked a little smaller, but you could also see why. It was he had a second costume, or disguise as you will, underneath, and he was an old grandma. To where he once actually flashed one of the Usos just to get the upper advantage. And just the comedy that Tyler Breeze brought to this match, I think, just upped the perception of what he was capable of with the fans. I mean, I very much enjoyed his Zoolander-type male model gimmick in NXT, but I don't think it was flying too well on the main roster. And because of that, they had to do something. They put him with Fandango. Fashion Police were born. And now he's adding another layer to his capability with the comedy, and it's just absolutely fantastic. And this is exactly what this team needs to do to get over with the fans just that little bit more. And I think if they continue to do this, as long as they don't get in that Santino Marella, Colt Cabana type way, and just continuing to do comedy after comedy after comedy, they need to bring the seriousness in. As long as they can find that even keel and mix it too well, I think this team is going to become a fan favorite team, which only in my eyes makes me wonder what the tag division on SmackDown is going to look like, because you also have American Alpha, and then you had the debuting New Day this week on SmackDown. That's a lot of babyface tag teams when they're chasing one team in the Usos with the tag titles. I mean, I know they have the Ascension as well, but I mean, they got to bring out a secondary tag feud if you want people to get invested. SmackDown, great tag division. Actually, great tag division on Raw, too. When you think about it, you got the Hardys, you got the Bar and Sheamus and Cesaro, you got the Revival, you got Enzo and Cass, you got the Good Brothers in Gallows and Anderson. You got some good tag teams in WWE right now, and it's just a matter of how you're going to be executing them. And then you also have the Clones, on SmackDown. So I'd like to see the Clones, as well as the Ascension, get a little bit more looks, because I think the Clones have, I think they can surprise a lot of people on SmackDown. So, But moving on, the Usos picked up the tag team win in this match, and they retain their tag titles. But very good performance from Tyler Breeze and Fandango. My MVP of the night goes to Tyler Breeze just for his performance. And this brings us to the six ladies match, the tag match with Naomi on one team, the SmackDown Live Women's Champion, teaming up with Becky Lynch and Charlotte to go up against the Welcoming Committee in Natalia, in Tamina, and the Princess of Staten Island, Carmella. Yeah, I mean, again, like, I don't understand why Carmella is in this. I'd much rather have swapped her with Charlotte, simply due to the fact that then these three women in Tamina, Natalia, and Charlotte can say that they were all born into the business and are second generation or more, and they're welcoming these other ladies into their business. I just like that so much better. But with that being said, I'm starting to enjoy Charlotte as a babyface, because she is not exactly going full babyface, but keeping some of her heelish tendencies. I like it. I don't want all my baby faces to be cookie cutter. I like them to have some edge. I like them to just change the reason of why they do a certain thing. Sometimes they do things for the reason the people don't like, so they don't like them. But if they do the same thing for a reason that the fans do like, they'll cheer. Think about the difference between Stone Cold Steve Austin when we saw him, and then the Stone Cold Steve Austin right before. Not a lot of difference. But the reasoning to why he went about things changed, and then his perception changed. By no means am I comparing Charlotte Flair to Stone Cold Steve Austin, but what I am comparing are the qualities that they possess. And that is just, you know, staying afloat with what you're doing and then just slightly altering the reason why. And I think that will go far. With that being said, Charlotte, I think, is just adding more legitimacy to her being, if not the best, but one of the best female performers the WWE has seen. And no, I just don't mean right now. I think she has a potential to be one of the best all time. I'll get more to about women wrestling later bit with a huge announcement coming from WWE. But, you know, as for the match, you know what? I'm not a big fan of six-man matches, which is quite ironic because, you know, I personally have been in a few a lot lately. I kind of just, you know, rather have seen a couple singles or maybe a tag. Like, just a two-on-two tag. I would have liked to see Naomi defend the title. I think Naomi-Natalia would have been a very good match. And then you could have had PCB teammates in Becky Lynch and Charlotte go up against Tamina and Carmella. I don't know. Just, you know, food for thought. But yeah, so the heels picked up the win on here. So the Tamina, Natalia, and Carmella, the Welcoming Committee, picked up the win. You know, nothing too fancy here. I mean, it wasn't anything special. I mean, you're going to see a lot more of these six women moving forward, circulating around each other. I really would not mind a female Money in the Bank, as Money in the Bank is the next SmackDown only pay-per-view. But, I mean, we got what we got. I mean, from the sounds of it, it's going to be Naomi defending the title at Money in the Bank and not a women Money in the Bank match itself, which I think is very disappointing. But yeah, just, I guess to finish off Backlash, we saw Sami Zayn go up against Baron Corbin. Again, nothing too fancy or classic. Big guy versus small guy match. David versus Goliath storyline. Sami Zayn, you know, shown you why he is always going to be the ultimate underdog in WWE right now. There's just no quit in him. Absolutely no quit. He's going to keep fighting until he can't fight anymore. And, yeah. I mean, we talk about an RKO out of nowhere. Haluva kick out of nowhere gave Sami Zayn the 1-2-3. All I can say is, you know, I'm not unhappy with this because I do think you got a good talent in Sami Zayn. But I also think you got a real good talent in Baron Corbin. And I think, just, you know, you can't pile up all these losses on Baron Corbin because I think he has a lot to give. And I think he's ready for a good push. It's my two cents on that. Perhaps this match was a no-win scenario for either one, but I mean, at the end of the day, I do like the fact that there's a winner and there's a loser. Fortunately, the loser is Baron Corbin, the winner is Sami Zayn. I think both superstars needed a win. And for me, that was the not a win-win scenario. The last match was actually the kickoff match. It was Aiden English against Ty Dillinger. Very basic match. I mean, Aiden England has that new persona where he now sings. Great voice. Real good voice on him. He good singer. So he gets cut off by Ty Dillinger. Ty Dillinger comes out and does his shtick. Match starts, you know, back and forth. Up until Ty Dillinger hits Aiden English with a the tiebreaker, which is a little different now. Again, keeps up with the fireman's carry. But instead of bringing the guy down on the back of his head on his knee, which we've seen AJ Styles do, we can only assume that he changed because of the fact that AJ Styles does the same move. But he brings him into his knee face first. So now the opponent's head is dragged face first into the knee of Ty Dillinger, which is exposed, no knee pad on. I'm not gonna lie, I kind of like the second version better, but this does remind me of the very similar episode situation with Dean Ambrose. Dirty Deeds used to be a completely different move when he first came in. It's basically like a an implanted bulldog, where Dean Ambrose also fell forward and spiked his opponent head right into the mat. Now it's a double arm DDT. Tiebreaker is a little different as well. Same name, two different moves. So, yeah, I like it. I do think Ty Dillinger is a very good addition to the SmackDown Live roster, so I can only hope he has something moving forward. I think Ty Dillinger and The Miz would have been such a great feud right now had The Miz and Maryse not moved to Monday Night Raw. So, it is what it is. I'm not too sure what you do next with Ty Dillinger. Not too sure what you do next with Aiden English. Anyway, Backlash at itself was, I thought, a really good card. I mean, I don't know, first glance at it, there's nothing special. I mean, you see Randy Orton versus Jinder Mahal, a lot of people are probably like, really, Jinder Mahal is in the main event? Yeah, not only was he in the main event, he won the main event, became the new WWE Champion. For that alone, I give Backlash a thumbs up, because, you know, it did something I didn't expect. The shock definitely came, gave me that moment. I mean, you only see somebody become WWE Champion for the first time once. I guess unless you're Chris Jericho, or your first title win never happened. But yeah, Jinder Mahal won the title for the first time. Great celebration. You can tell he was very, very much happy with the win. I mean, that's a goal I don't think a lot of people expected to see him achieve. So good for him. And I'm very curious to see how SmackDown goes from here. So yeah, I wanted to touch on the big announcement with WWE. As we all know, that they're doing a 64 women tournament Or is it 64 or is it 32? One of them. So it might even be 32. I might be mistaken. It could be a 32 women tournament. And it's all women. Much like the Cruiserweight Classic, but all women. And they have now named this the Mae Young Classic. I think this is a fantastic idea. I think Mae Young is one of the best pioneers for women wrestling, period. I really would have been okay with Fabulous Moolah or even a Sensational Sherry. But I just think there's something about Mae Young that makes you feel proud to be a woman wrestler. And I can only imagine, who's going to be the first winner of the Mae Young Classic. But I can say that this is going to be one heck of a tournament. And I'm very curious, not just to see who's all in it, but the matches, storylines, how it plays out. Because I'm actually an advocate for women wrestling. There's a lot of good female wrestlers out there, so hopefully this is a tournament that gets the same, if not more, success than what the Cruiserweight Classic did. Moving forward, we just spend now a good half hour talking about Backlash. So that's going to be the wrestling portion for this week. I want to dive into the NHL playoffs because this past weekend we saw the Nashville Predators advance to their first ever Stanley Cup final as they beat the Anaheim Ducks in 6 games. And all I can say is thank you, Nashville, because you're giving me a present here. And that present is that the Nashville Predators are making sure that Kevin Bieska and Ryan Kessler, they don't win the Stanley Cup. And I am very, very happy about that. And Ryan Getzlaff, you might have to cross-check more now next year just to win. My God, like, how many cross-checks did he get away with this playoffs? And I'm not even going to get into the refs, because that's not something I want to do. I mean, something has to be said about the calls, though, right? I mean, very, very shady calls throughout this entire NHL playoffs. And I don't think I'm in the minority when I say the NHL needs to figure out what in the blue hell goaltender interference is, because I don't think the fans know anymore. I say this because in the Eastern Conference Final, we saw a situation between the Pittsburgh Penguins and the Ottawa Senators in their Game 6, where we saw Trevor Daley get called for goalie interference. And, you know, a lot of people said he pushed him into the net, but I thought he was just fighting for the puck. I mean, the puck's in the crease. You're in the crease. It's Game 6. I mean, you don't think the guy's going to be a little bit gung-ho to get that goal? Not to mention, there's a defender right there. It's not like he was letting him out. He's playing his man. Daly's playing the puck. He's trying for the goal. I think Anderson just got out-muscled here. And I think that because it was in his crease, that's why it was called back. But at some point, I think you just got to let hockey plays be hockey plays. And in the end, Ottawa defeated Pittsburgh 2-1. So, I mean, this goal could have been a difference maker. Could have been 2-2 going in overtime. Actually, at the time, it would have made that game 2-0 Pittsburgh. And who would have known if Ottawa would have came back? Changes the whole dynamic. One call changes the whole dynamic. I'm not going to say it was a bad call. I'm not going to say it was a good call. Just because I understand why it was called goalie interference. I'm also just saying I don't agree with why that's considered goalie interference. it is what it is. Anyway, with the win with the Ottawa Center for the Ottawa Senators, they force a game 7, which takes place on Thursday night. So the day that this podcast actually comes out. And we'll find out who faces the Nashville Predators in the Stanley Cup Finals, whether it's the Pittsburgh Penguins or the Ottawa Senators. So, I mean, it's going to be, a great game. I mean, who doesn't like a Game 7, right? So, I expect all teams to pull out all the stops. They're going to give it everything they have. Because either one team's going home or the other one's going for the cup. It's that simple. Do or die, and this is just the way we like it, don't we, people? So, I'm going to predict Pittsburgh wins. I think they'll win 3-1. I think everyone's favorite captain, Sidney Crosby. He's not everyone's favorite captain, but quite polarizing, actually, of a figure, I would say. Yeah, I think you either like him, you either love him or you hate him. I don't think there's an in-between. I think he'll get the game winner, and I think Pittsburgh is going to give their home fans a reason to cheer, and they're going to win their second straight Eastern Championship and go on to their second straight Stanley Cup Final. So, and then this would give Pittsburgh Nashville, and I'm taking Nashville in 5. Pekka Rinne is playing amazing, people. I mean, not to mention, game 1 of the Stanley Cup Final goes on Monday. That gives Nashville Predators a full week of just recovering, resting, and I think that's going to play a huge part in the early part of the series. I don't think rust is going to be an issue. I think this is just going to help Nashville get a little bit more healthy, while Pittsburgh, I mean, they're becoming a little depleted in my books. So, I mean, I could be wrong. Pittsburgh could, come out to play here. I mean, they do have some of the best players in the world, and Evgeny Malkin and Sidney Crosby, and Matt Murray is playing great too. I mean, let's not kid ourselves. I think the only reason why Ottawa won Game 6 was their goalie, 45 saves. Craig Anderson was unreal. Just unreal. And Matt Murray has not been bad by any means. He's been very good. I think he's only let 4 goals in the 3 games he's played. So, Ottawa, you got to earn it. Because Matt Murray's not going to just give it to you. And same thing. Craig Anderson needs to stand on his head one more time to send Ottawa to the finals. I just don't think it's going to happen. When in doubt, I'll put my chips on Sidney Crosby, unless he's against Connor McDavid. Also, we're a month away from the NHL Awards, the NHL Awards and the NHL Expansion Draft. I went on a website, capfriendly.com, and you're able to actually pick who you could protect in what way. I know we had said 10 skaters and 1 goalie last week. That is wrong. It is 8 skaters and 1 goalie, or 7 forwards, 3 defensemen, and a goalie. I think a lot of people take the 7 forwards, 3 defense. I mean, that's 10 players you get to protect right there, opposed to 8. I mean, that's a win. I guess it all depends on, if your team has a good blue line or not. Because, if you're Minnesota, I mean, you got some good D-men. But, with the Cowboy Cap friendly thing, it's very interesting to see who would be non-protected and available for Vegas. And, man, I think Vegas is going to get some very good players out of this expansion draft. I'm very curious to see what happens in the draft, who they pick. But like I said last week, man, I just want to see their jerseys. I want to see what they look like. Are they going to be unveiled at the draft, or are they going to be veiled on the awards? I don't know. we know all the jerseys are going to be unveiled at the draft. All the new Adidas. Reebok used to do them. Adidas is the new jersey maker. So, yeah, I'll be curious to see who all changes are looking on. So that's about it for the NHL. Jumping off to the NBA. I know, basketball's stupid. We said it last. But, I mean, hey. We're going to see the final soon, and it looks like for the second straight year, you're going to get Golden State Warriors against the Cleveland Cavaliers. And, my God, I hope LeBron does it again. I really do. I mean, Golden State's becoming the New York Yankees in the NBA, are they not? Just, you know, buying players left and right just so they can win a championship. Seems that way. That's why they got Kevin Durant, didn't they? I mean, they got a pretty pretty disgusting lineup of guys on that team. When you take an account, you got Curry, you got Andre Iguodala. Man, remember when he was the second AI in Philadelphia? Like, wow. Like, times have changed. Now he's just, like, a role player. He's a really good role player, might I add. Who else do Golden State have? I mean, they got Green, Thompson. I mean, great players. And what is it? They went 12-0 to get to the finals. First team to go 12-0 in the playoffs. The only undefeated team, well, obviously this year, but, you know, one of the few undefeated teams in the playoffs. I wonder if anybody's actually gone perfect in the NBA playoffs. It'd be very hard. Very, very hard. They've punched their way in. And they're awaiting the winner of Boston and Cleveland. Cleveland's up 3-1. I mean, I think that's pretty safe. I mean, when you got the King on your team, I mean, I don't see how you can go wrong. I hope Cleveland goes on to play Golden State, as they should. And I hope they beat Golden State. It's going to be tough, but I hope so. Yeah, it's just, I don't know. I'm a LeBron guy, people, so... You can't make me not cheer against them. And you can't even use the Raptors. I don't care about the Raptors. I don't care a lot about basketball. But I mean, I'm a competitive guy. I gotta have my favorites. And, yeah. Speaking of favorites, one of my favorite sports is coming back. The NFL. I mean, we're just inching closer and closer to the start of the NFL season. Preseason starts up in about a month or so. It's exciting times. Very exciting times. We'll see if my team, the New Orleans Saints, if they finally have a defense that works. I hope so. I really hope so. I mean, it would be very nice if they did. Very nice. I mean, I know we have a good offense. We have one of the most elite quarterbacks in the NFL, Drew Brees. When he's throwing you the ball, I mean, that's all you need. One of the most accurate passers in the NFL. He's going to go down as one of the top five best all-time, I think. I don't think this year. I think next year he'll break Peyton Manning's all-time, or sorry, Brett Favre's all-time passing yard record. I mean, that's huge. What NFL actually did do is said they're going to be a lot more lenient on the touchdown celebrations. Thank God, because who doesn't like to see a good touchdown celebration? It's one of the most entertaining parts of football. So they're going to be a little bit lenient on that. And also, they knocked down the time of overtime from, I believe, 15 minutes to 10 minutes. So should see if there's going to be more ties this year in football. Or if you'll see more teams go for it. That should be interesting. I hope teams go for it. Make it a lot more entertaining. So we'll see. we will see. Early predictions for this year. You know, I can't not bet against the Patriots anymore. They are, I think, always going to be a good team whenever Belichick and Brady decide to leave. I think that's when you'll see a decline with the Patriots. But when you have those two minds working on your team, I think you're destined for success. I'm not saying I'm picking them to win it all. I'm saying I'm going to look for them as definitely top favorites. You know, I think Green Bay is going to have a good year again. I actually see Arizona not having a bad year. I'm very curious to see the Rams, the LA Rams. Don't expect them to do much, but I just, you know, I want to see if they can go 8-8. I think Oakland Raiders are going to do well. As long as Derek Carr plays really well, their defense holds up. Can't see why they can't be players. I wonder if Atlanta is going to have a repeat year of last year. They were quite good last year in the regular season, so we'll see. I mean, they're going to lock up Devontae Freeman coming up, and yeah, they have one of the, if not the best wide receivers in football in Julio Jones. Matt Ryan, great quarterback. As much as it pains me to say it, he's a great quarterback. Yeah, it'll be very interesting to see if the Atlanta Falcons can rebound from that devastating Super Bowl loss in February. So, yeah, time can tell. Dark horse teams. Ooh. I think if I have to put a long shot on anybody to win, all right out, you know, win the Super Bowl, all that good stuff. I mean, it's hard not to say, you know, Cleveland, just because they were so bad last year. I don't think they'll even be close to making the playoffs. I don't think they'll improve that much. I'm curious to see how the Texans will do this year, actually. But no, I'm going to take Oakland as my dark horse this year. Just something about what Oakland did this offseason, it makes me believe that they have a legitimate shot of being the Super Bowl champions this coming year. That mainly covers a lot, if not everything, I wanted to talk about. So I am going, you know, plug away. What do you mean? Well, Parrish, what can you plug? Well, I can plug our whatamaneuver.net page, because that is where you can go and buy retro. Yes, I'll use the word retro, not vintage. So I'll see retro One World Empire merchandise, whether it's t-shirts, hoodies, you know, maybe your kid, your little toddler with like a onesie. I'm sure he can get one of those. He can definitely get a struggle onesie. I mean, even babies feel the struggle. So, I mean, you can't... Let's not be ageist out there, people. Yeah, I mean, and then you can also get, you know, some hoodies, some t-shirts as well. All that good stuff. Go out there and buy it. We'd love to see you represent. Anybody who actually goes out and buys any One World Empire or Struggle merchandise, you know, take a photo of yourself wearing that. Tweet me. I'll follow you. How about that? Easy as pie. You support me, I'll support you. How about that? It's kind of deal, people. And, yeah. And then, you know, in case if, you know, you're on the internet, you're a little bored, you know, you need some audio funness in your life. Yes, I'm saying funness. Suck it for anybody who doesn't like that. I don't care. Go to Podbean, iTunes, Google Play. Download the Edmonton Sport Podcast Network. Just do it. You can download a bunch of podcasts, people. You can download all of the prior episodes of The Sound Struggle, including this one. Remember, we drop every Thursday. it's a good day. You know, some people call it Throwback Thursday. We call it Struggle Thursday. You know, whatevs, right? Enjoy it. Other good shows. I mean, you can get Quick Calls, which Mike the Ref always hosts. He's always at the shows giving his opinion. You know, sometimes he's a little bit opinionated about the struggle, about our methods. But, I mean, whatever. There's a reason why we're one of the most beloved, popular, successful trio out there in Alberta wrestling. Just ask my boy, Sean Martins. Just ask my best friend, Maniac. They'll tell you the same thing. Still, the uncrowned tag team champions of Monster Pro Wrestling. Don't get me wrong, people. We're not happy with the fact that we still have not got our fair rematch for those titles. We just haven't. We were supposed to get it in January. You know, it didn't work out. Some stupid comedian came in. Interfered. Wasn't our fault. He wasn't supposed to be out there anyway. So, I mean, you just can't get a comedian to do a wrestler's job now, can you? I mean, he wanted to come out and tell some jokes, but the only joke that was being told was, you know, him in our ring. We just didn't want him in our ring. We wanted to win the tag titles in peace. And, he messed that up for us. And then since then, the Shark Club just doesn't want to give us our rematch. They have not actually beaten us since they were handed our titles. Let's just point that out. They have never actually beat Tag Struggle at all since Retribution 9. Let's just be honest with that. I mean, they won a match that we were both in, but they never beat us. And let's face it, you're not the true champs until you beat the champs. So that's why I say we're still the uncrowned tag champs. You know, anyway, with that being said, it's, you know, hearsay. It's actually not hearsay, it's facts, but it's, I'm getting off topic. I'm trying to tell you to go to Edmonton Sport Podcast Network and download all their shows. So you can have Quick Calls. I mean, you also have Daniel Jobber, you know, talking about all the cruiserweight stuff. I mean, he's talking about like 5 matches, like every episode. But you know what? It's content, people. We're not really talking about the cruiserweight division, but he is, so check him out. You know, if you like that, then you'll be sure to love The Sounds of Struggle. So yeah, go check that out. Download all the shows. iTunes, Podbean, Google Play. Do it. But then again, I'm not going to force you. But you're just cheating yourself if you don't. Also, if you're in the Alberta area, the Edmonton, Alberta, and local area, like local cities, make sure to watch your Shaw TV. If you have Shaw TV. Every Monday night, 10:30. Channel 10, MPW, Monday Night Dynamite. Check it out. You know, we got replays on Saturday and Sunday, 11 till noon. Check them out. How many times do you get to see local wrestling on local television, people? In Edmonton? Come on, doesn't happen. But it does if you decide to watch Shaw TV every Monday nights for Monday Night Dynamite or Saturday, Sunday with the replays. It doesn't matter. Just watch it. I'm going to just talk about the upcoming shows that you can see the struggle. We have a show Saturday, June 3rd at the Alberta Ave Community Hall in Edmonton, Alberta. Bell time 7:30. It's the 5th annual Leo Burr Cup. What I believe is the tag match for the titles. We'll see Epic Wood against the Shark Club, which makes no sense to me. Again, Shark Club never beat the struggle. Just saying, they never beat Tag Struggle. So why isn't Tag Struggle in that match again? No real winner. Last match. So come on. Tyler James, you have a big mouth. Back it up. Let's go. Come on, man. So, yeah, 5th annual Leo Burke Cup. I believe the tag team of Sean Martins and Manaik will get to beat up the stupid weapons of mass seduction. I think that's, from what I just hear, that's, you know, what's going on. It's not really much, you know, for us, because let's face it, not a lot of teams want to fight us. But that's what I understand is going to happen. And I have a little surprise for people. So make sure you buy your tickets. Yeah, contact me. You can get tickets through me. $15 advance tickets, people. Good deal. Local wrestling. Boom. $15. Not a better deal. You get to see my surprise. And then also, you get to watch a great wrestling show. Why? Because Tag Struggle is going to steal it like we always do. With that being said, the next week, June 10th, you'll see Sean Martins, you'll see Chris Parrish absolutely dominate the Canadian Wrestling Coalition, the CWC, where, yes, yours truly, Chris Parrish, is the 2017 Canada Cup winner. And yes, Sean Martins and I are technically a part of the stud stable in the CWC. And we have a match. Well, the stud stable has a match where if they are victorious, they get total control of CWC. I mean, they get to pick 3 people to represent. I don't know if that's been announced yet. I mean, if they're smart, they'd pick us. Hey, you know what? If they're really smart, they'd pick Sean Martins, Chris Parrish, and they call him Manaik and bring him out too. Just saying. If they're smart, they would just get Tag Struggle to worry about it. Consider it done. That goes in Black Falls, Alberta. June 10th. Bell time, I believe, is 6:30. And, yeah, just follow CWC on Facebook, and they're giving away tickets. You know, they're giving away some tickets. I mean, not all tickets are just being given away. You got to pay for them too, people. This is a business. We're in the money-making business too. So yeah, make sure you go and give the CWC a like on Facebook. Go check out the event. It's called Total Control, people. June 10th, Black Falls, Alberta. I believe it's at the Abbey Center. You're not going to want to miss this. It's going to be a big show. Last show was huge. 300 plus people. Huge show. Saw me beat up Jack Pride. Just saying. Stupid dad saw me beat up Jack Pride. Uh-huh. Jack Pride's stupid dad. He has a girl's name, by the way. Just thought I'd throw that out. Dana. No Dana. Only Zool. What a stupid name, Dana. Bet you his parents wish he was a girl. That's why they gave him a girl's name. Anyway, moving on. And then we fast forward one more week, June 17th, live at the Sick Fritz Memorial Center in Lethbridge, Alberta. Pure Power Wrestling, people. Back at it, where you get to see 2 members of Tag Struggle join up with Steve Rivers. That's right, Sean Martins, myself, and Steve Rivers. I'm just kidding. Sean Martins is not in there. But he'll be by my side. He had his first match in PPW last month. Gets massive damage. Heavyweight title. That's what he does. He just gets title matches because he's a damn headliner. That's why. Actually, I believe I'm representing the Trump Foundation down there. And in a match against... Yeah, why are you beeping at me, you dork? Stupid idiot. Anyway, yeah, so it's a Trump Foundation against the team of the Irishman. My God, is he a tool? He's also fat. You got Kid Cyrus. What an moron that guy is. Thinks he's all cool because he can jump. So? I can jump. It's not that hard. Anyway, and their partner, the Cheetah Bear, Jude Dawkins, which, by the way, Jude, I'm coming after your CWC title. I can cash in this Canada Cup thing. I mean, I have to announce it, but whenever I want my title shot, it's a guaranteed title shot when you win this thing. Yeah. Eyes in the back of your head, Cheetah Bear. Hey, Jude. In the words of Goldberg, you're next, buddy. Taking your title. Just like I took Jack Brad's job in the Canada Cup. And anyway, so that's Lethbridge. June 17th. Sick for its Memorial Center. I believe bell time is 7:30. Go on their Facebook. Check them out. Yeah. Again, ticket prices, all that good stuff's on there. If you're in the Lethbridge area, go check out Pure Power Wrestling. Watch struggle members Sean Martins, Chris Parrish do business the way we do business, because that's just simply what we do. And then on top of that, the next one after that is Canada Day, baby. 150 years strong, Canada Day. And yeah, it's going to be a great, great, great show, because as of right now, this show, if weather's permitted, will be outside of the Alberta Ave. Tickets are only $10 in advance, $15 at the door. $10, people. July 1, Canada Day, shows at 2 o'clock. So you get to still enjoy a great wrestling show for $10. It's a good deal. It's one of the purple bills, people. Their money's weird. So, yeah, for $10, you get to go and watch Monster Pro Wrestling outside, 2 o'clock. Still have time to watch all the fireworks, all the good stuff. It's for Adrian Frenzy, if you're an NHL fan. It's a good day. It's a good day, people. Celebrate Canada, 150 years. The old fart that it is. Bet you it still drives like an idiot. Old people, man. Some of the worst drivers, I tell you. Cataracts, people. Does not go well with driving. Anyway, that is all for us this week. This is the Sounds of Struggle featuring Chris Parrish minus Maniac. Miss you, buddy. Love you. We'll be back. He'll be back next week for episode 25. So, make sure you follow us all on Twitter. Check us out on Instagram. You buy our shirts. You listen to our podcast. Maybe listen to the other ones. That's your call. And guess what? You stay struggle-licious. And then you, just like your favorite tag team, Tag Struggle, will be real. And you'll be spectacular! Later, bitches! And when your heart's pounding out of your chest, you can feel the thing shaking as you're running out of breath. If you're ready to rock,